Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run.
The epistle reading comes from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus says that, yes, we as Christians are to be imitators of God. That is, our outward life shall be nothing but love. It states that we are to walk in love and to walk as children of the light. Furthermore, Paul, also in this letter to the church in Rome, he states that we are to be presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is our spiritual worship. In other words, as Christians, we are to be fragrant sacrifices and offerings in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. Our lives and our bodies are to be set aside for God, not for ourselves. That is to say, we are not to offer money and cattle and lambs and other various animals as sacrifices and offerings, but rather we are to offer our very own bodies, our mouths, our actions, our thoughts, and so forth. There's a problem, though, with all of this, for we understand that none of our labor is acceptable to God. We understand that none of our carnal, fleshy work is acceptable in the Lord's sight. The Scripture says that all of our works are like filthy rags before God, even though some may be very pleased and impressed with our achievements. None of our carnal works rise to the Lord Jesus as fragrant offerings or acceptable to our Father in heaven as pleasing sacrifices. Our God sees all of our works as filthy rags, not one worthy of meriting any attention of Him. My friends, our works are too polluted, too muddy, and too muted. The reason why this is the way that it is due to the reality of our fallen condition. Otherwise stated, we have this terrible stain of sin upon us that corrupts our thoughts and it corrupts our deeds, our words, and so forth. We're knocked off center. We're twisted from the fall of Adam and Eve. From birth, we are full of evil lust. And yes, we are addicted to that which is wrong. We have a longing not only to do that which is faulty, but we have this longing to hold tightly to the sweet poison of sin. As a result, this impacts all of our life, which means that all of our works, no matter how pure and how noble, are indeed tainted and blemished. These good works are more often than not done with selfish reasons or impure motives. They're done out of the context of not truly fearing and loving and trusting God. They're not done out of the context of purely loving our neighbor, but are typically done to serve the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. due to this terrible disease of sin, none of our sacrifices and offerings, that is, what we think and what we say and what we do, none of these reach the Lord as acceptable and well-pleasing to him. Bluntly put, they smell of death, and they are coated with the scent of sin. But you may say to yourself, what of the Old Testament ceremonial sacrifices and the offerings and the worship? Were not all the Old Testament sacrifices sweet-smelling and well-pleasing to the Lord, as it does say in the Old Testament? Yes, the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings were pleasing, but not for the reason that we might think. You see, the ceremonial sacrifices of the Old Testament were pleasing to God, not because of the intrinsic worth or value of the sacrifice itself, or because of the worth of the one doing it. Rather, they were well-pleasing because these sacrifices and these offerings of the Old Testament were foreshadows of the one true sacrifice to come. They encircled the one true sacrifice to come, Jesus Christ and his death and burial and resurrection. Otherwise stated, none of our works, your works or mine, that are derived by our own doing, and none of the works done for our name's sake, reach God as sweet-smelling sacrifices and offerings. To put it another way, no matter how hard we work to make our lives and doings an impressive, appealing, and eye-pleasing demonstration of our apparent worth and value, it will not and cannot please God. He is not impressed. This is so because the world of God and the world of man have been separated, we see in Genesis 3:22. The world of God and the world of man have been separated due to sin of mankind in the Garden of Eden. A great chasm was created due to sin. Thus, there's no possible way to properly devote and present something to the Lord from this world. Our sacrifices, our offerings, our works, they cannot cross this great divide. Even if our works and doings could cross into the world of God, there's no passport for our sacrifices to be received into the realm of God. They will not be admitted, for they are tainted and stained. Works and sacrifices and offerings that are tarnished by sin will not and cannot be admitted before the Lord as a fragrant offering, because the Lord is indeed holy. God's holiness is inseparable from him and his presence. Frankly, the only way to devote and give something to God has been to remove it from man's world, that is, to kill it, and or in some cases, to burn it. This means that for us to present ourselves before the Lord and to walk in the light and to be children of the light, as we sang here this morning, and to offer up sacrifices to the Lord, we must be put to death. There must be an end. There must be an end to ourselves. There must be an end to our ways. There must be an end to our world. But you may say to yourself, well, Pastor, how on earth are we to be put to death? How does this happen? Blessed saints, take comfort, for you are put to death in your baptisms. You have, yes, you have died. Through baptism, you are joined to Christ and the fruits of his death. Yes, at your baptisms, you were joined to Christ, you were forgiven, you were rescued from death and the devil, and you were given eternal life. In your baptism, the old Adam finds death. In your baptism, the new man emerges. Surely your sin puts you in the grave, but your baptism joins you to Jesus' grave, a grave that not only has death, but a grave that has resurrection and new life. This baptism of yours, your baptism, it matters. It is the means by which you are joined to Jesus' death, his burial and resurrection, a death and burial and resurrection which are a wonderful, fragrant offering and a gracious sacrifice on your behalf. Yes, Jesus, he is the perfect, fragrant, sacrifice and offering, the Lamb slain from before the foundations of the world, in whose book the names of all who live and die and rise by faith in Christ Jesus have been written. And not only are your names written in the book of the Lamb and in the heart of the Father, but your works of faith, your good works prepared beforehand in which you walk, they rise to the throne of the Father as a fragrant sacrifice and offering. Baptized saints, you walk in the light and are imitators of God because the Holy One has invaded this world. He has invaded you. He has invaded you by placing the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit upon you, His name upon you, bringing forth a new creation. Yes, you are purified in your baptism and live in repentance, daily being forgiven and standing before God as a living, holy, well-pleasing sacrifice to Him. The recreating, sanctifying Spirit of God has come to you, making you alive. Daily, the Holy One, He overruns you by the Word and sacraments with the power of God, power that affects your posture and your attitudes. Daily, you are cleansed as you are returned to the waters of your baptism. Daily, your works and your doings are cleansed as well as for Christ's sake. Thus, be confident, dear friends, be confident that God accepts Jesus Christ as an acceptable offering in your place. Because of Jesus, this means that as water baptized, blood covered, and anointed saints, yes, you, your lives and your jobs and your vocations and your works and your doings and your thoughts and your words are fragrant sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. Even though you continually see yourself as a sinner, though, and even though that the old Adam clings to you until the day that you die, and even though in the eyes of the law and the world you are considered a sinner, my friends, do not forget the reality that you are at the same time completely a saint in the eyes of God because of Christ. The good news of the gospel is that you are totally and perfectly righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Christ is your righteousness that you wear as a robe. Because of Jesus, and because He is an acceptable sacrifice and offering for you, and because you daily die and rise in Him, every act proceeding from faith, every work that has been prepared in advance for you to walk in, and every word spoken in faith is made holy because of Jesus and rises up to the Father as a sweet-smelling aroma and fresh sacrificial offering. So, dear baptized saints, walk in love. Be imitators of God. Present yourself as living sacrifices and serve your neighbor, for you have died and been buried and resurrected in Jesus through your baptism. This is not of your own doing, but it is the Holy Spirit through the gospel working to create in you a life of worship. Dear friends, rest in the One who is for you, knowing that through the Word and the sacraments, He has declared you righteous for Christ's sake and made all of your movement and life in Him a fragrant offering in the nostrils of our loving God and Father. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.